Okay, chapter 2 and verse 13 is our text tonight. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The scripture is full, is replete with reactions and dispositions and attitudes to and toward the Word of God, toward the Scriptures. You would think that it's only appropriate if we believe in sola scriptura, that the Scripture only is our standard for faith and practice, that we should have an attitude and a disposition toward Scripture that is one of great reverence and great respect, as we see here that Paul is commending of the Thessalonians in verse 13. Psalm 19, which we sang a part of tonight, is the longest psalm, and it's dedicated to the Word of God. The preciousness of it, yes, the objective nature of the Word, but also it's full of subjective responses to that. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I have great respect unto thy commandments. Just admonishing God's people to appreciate the value of the Word, and then to give the appropriate response to something that you consider so valuable. It's just a mixed message if we tell people this is the most important book in all the world and we ourselves do not give the attention and the respect that we ought to give. And I guess my burden tonight is just to remind us to have a reverential awe toward God and a respect for His Word, and to not come so familiar that we almost despise the truth. And sometimes I think that that God's people can be like it says in Proverbs, that they loathe the honeycomb because it's constantly given to them over to us over and over and over again. And especially, though it must be difficult for you to hear the same voice preaching and teaching the Word of God over and over and over again. And I can understand in Hebrews where it says to endure, to endure the word of exhortation, to endure preaching. You know what I'm saying? There's passages in Scripture where you are admonished. I am too, but as a preacher, you're the ones that are admonished to. There are times you just endure it. It's not easy. I don't know if that's because the message may be hard, or it's because the Lord is just saying you hear it so much. Have in your heart that attitude that I'm going to bear through this, no matter if I'm going through a difficult time or I'm distracted, but or whatever may be the case in our lives. Let's be reminded how precious God's Word is, and to be reminded that the Bereans, whose name we take to ourselves, received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. They had a tremendous attitude and spirit toward the Word of God. And no doubt, not everything they heard from Paul or from others was necessarily pleasant and easily palatable. Over, whether you're in the Old or the New Testament, you're constantly given reactions and attitudes toward the Word of God. In Ezra, they stood for hours in the rain to listen to God's Word read and explained. Josiah rent his clothes when he heard the Word that they had neglected for so long. Moses fell on his face when he heard God's Word. Jeremiah said, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. It's critical. It's important. youth are told, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to your word. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Just all kinds of proper reactions to the word are either revealed or exhorted. And of course, you've got the negative responses as well, like the king in Jeremiah's day that took some of the leaves of the scripture that Baruch had copied from the mouth of Jeremiah and with a penknife cut a leaf and cast it into the fire. And of course we have the Thessalonians here. This is admirable, isn't it? Now you remember it's the Thessalonians that it says the Bereans were more noble than. The Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And is it possible that the Thessalonians sensed that they were smitten by that? They observed that in the Bereans. Or maybe Paul said that to them. Look, the Bereans are more noble than you. Maybe they had a casual attitude toward the Word of God prior to this. Something Paul noticed, something the Spirit noticed as he inspired Luke to write this, that the Thessalonians were not up to par on their reaction, the proper reaction and attitude toward the Word of God. But by now, something has changed. Verse 13 says, God is to be thanked that you've received the Word of God from us, not as if we have spoken it out of our own hearts, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Something had changed from Acts chapter 17, wouldn't you agree? They were less noble than the Bereans, but now they have received the Word of God. And not, apparently, maybe you were reading between the lines that they were just saying, well, that's your word, Paul. That's your word, Apollos. That's your word. But now they finally started to realize, look, yes, it is coming from the mouth of man. But if it's God's word, I don't care if it comes from the mouth of a donkey. I'm to listen to it. Even if it comes from the mouth of a false prophet like Balaam, I better listen to it. Because God is speaking. And whatever be the instrument, however weak the instrument, however less than par is the instrument, I want to listen to God. And so, I just want to exhort us to endure the word of exhortation. I want to exhort us to continue seeking to hear the word of God. And resist the temptation that the devil would bring for us to have a casual attitude toward God's Word. I'm sure perhaps, I would assume that all of you have been places where you've been in churches and if you looked at the crowd, if you looked at the people, would you be able to say just by their reaction, they're listening to the Word of God? Or is their disposition as if they were in a comedy show or in a theater or in a stadium? Are you following me? There should be a difference in demeanor of people when we're listening to the Word of God. And I just remind us of this. This is the Bible, the Word of God, God's Scripture. And let's always have a deep reverence toward God's Word and God's truth. First of all, and my message is dealing with the godly reception of Scripture. The godly reception of the Word of God. The first thought is, take heed what you hear. Right? In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, you receive the Word of God. Okay? If you receive the Word of God, not as the Word of man, but as in truth the Word of God. The Lord said several things concerning our attitude toward His Word when He was on earth. He said, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. He also said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And you see this in this passage here. You see this in this verse. First of all, it's saying that they took heed what they heard. They'd heard many things, but they began to discern what, and all that they heard was from the mouth of men, right? But they discerned and they began to take heed what they were hearing. If they heard the Word of God, they gave that special attention. Of course, they heard many things that weren't the Word of God. We hear many things that aren't the Word of God. And so, I want us to take heed at all, to remind us to take heed what we hear. That we discern if we're hearing the Word of God or not, whether it be from this pulpit or on a radio or on a television or in another church or in another gathering or whatever. That we always should take heed what we hear. There are many words of men that cannot be called the Word of God. Take heed that we don't hear. We may listen and read to know what it says, but take heed that we don't hear the Quran. The Book of Mormon is being promoted much these days. The prophecies of Mary Baker Eddy. The commandments of men who keep people in bondage. All kinds of commandments of men. A Sabbath day's journey. And we can apply what they did in Jesus' day to our day. A certain way to look, a certain way to dress, a certain way to act. And even doctrines that are not doctrines of Scripture, but doctrines of men. That have been foisted upon God's Word and are not found there whatsoever. Beware of the opinions of men. We all have opinions, but beware we don't exalt them to be the words of God. And I'm afraid sometimes we have dictatorial preachers or pastors. We have demagogues, and whatever they say we just assume is the Word of God. But much of what is said is not so. Beware of materialism. Beware of nationalism that's in the church that really is not of God at all. Beware of eroticism in the church. The Lord has said, sanctify them by thy word, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So take heed what we hear. And I would urge us in this church to be taking heed what we hear. We can just assume that everything I'm saying is the Word of God. Now, that's my burden, that I preach God's Word. But if you and I are not on edge, if we're not coming with a concern, then if we get sloppy, if we aren't careful, things can, that's how churches become liberal. When God's people are not coming with the word take heed that Jesus used is beware. Look carefully. Consider objectively what you're hearing. And is it wrong for me to say that to judge me? Judge me. Take heed what you're hearing from me. Pray that I'll study and have the mind of God from the Scriptures and not just study with something in mind that I think we need. It's easy even to read the Scriptures and bring something that's the message of the man and not the message of God. Take heed what we hear. As Jesus said in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear. And that's found in you receive the Word of God, which you heard of men, but you discern when it was the Word of man and when it was the Word of God. Take heed that you receive the Word of God. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight. What you need to receive when we're in these services, we all fellowship together and we give opinions and advice, but what you need to receive from this pulpit is the Word of God. And so you're having to do discerning while you're listening. And so we should always come to the service saying, I'm wanting to hear the Word of the Lord. Sir, we would see Jesus, the living Word. We want you to preach the Word of God. Secondly, take heed that you hear. And Jesus said that in Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's the same idea. Revelation 2-3. Let him that heareth what the Spirit saith to the churches. It's a little different than take heed what you hear. You know, you can know you're hearing the Word of God and not hear it. And heed it. Take heed what you hear, but you can be convinced that you're hearing the Scriptures, but are you taking heed that you're hearing? Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, okay, your ears are discerning that you're hearing the Word of God, but are you hearing in your heart? Am I hearing with my heart? Am I listening to what the Lord is telling me to say to you? It says they received the Word of God, but it says they received the Word of God. Okay? They made sure what they were hearing was the Word of God before they received it, but they received it when they knew it was the Word of God. In other words, are you receiving what is being said if it's the Word of God? Not just discerning that it's the Word of God. Are you giving attendance to it, attention to it? And they're both important. I'm afraid that, you know, you wonder why statements are made, for instance, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Why is attendance necessary before there's attention? I mean, that's an obvious thing. You can't give attention if you're not attending, if you're not there. And I fear, you know, people wonder, why have I missed my Christian life? Why have I missed this part or missed that part? When they never regularly gave themselves to the hearing of the Word. You read in Scripture over and over again, terms like exhort one another daily. They continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Attendance to the Word is prior to attention to the Word. And could it be there are so many true believers that are not regularly under the hearing of God's Word from those who have been given, entrusted with the Gospel to feed their souls? Is that why we have a lot of emaciated believers, a lot of believers that are stagnant, a lot of believers that don't know direction in their lives, a lot that are just stagnant? We need to pray that the Lord will revive His people to be regular attenders to God's Word, or regular attenders to one congregation. There are a lot of people that just seem to be round robin. They just seem to take churches as if people take restaurants. They just take a smorgasbord. I remember back in the 1980s, I don't think any of you know the people. Tanya may not, I don't think I even gave this conversation to them, but we were talking one time and they just were kind of infrequent in their attendance, and we just were sitting, and I was intimating their need to be more regular. It's only right for you to, how are you going to have a whole counsel of God if you're irregular? And remember, the woman said, "Well, you don't expect us to be here all the time, do you?" And I just sat there and I said, "You don't expect me to be here all the time, do you?" What if everybody didn't expect me? What if I didn't? What if I just didn't show up this Wednesday? Well, you wouldn't get a paycheck, preacher. But what if I wasn't a paycheck-receiving preacher, which a lot of people haven't? What if I didn't show up? And I said to him, who am I going to preach to if people don't show up? If I have a message from God and I've been given the task of preaching and teaching, if I don't have regular objects to preach to, regular people to preach to, what kind of cohesion, what kind of progress can ever be made in a church if people aren't committed? You expect the preacher to be committed, but why shouldn't the preacher expect the people to be committed? We were talking, and you know, they both kind of like the light bulb turned on a little bit as we were talking, and I wasn't trying to use any leverage to make them feel guilty, but I just said, look, we've got to just be real on this, that there's got to be commitment on both sides. And the Lord said, take heed that you hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And people cannot hear unless they're regularly under the sound of the gospel. The word hear is present tense. The Lord doesn't mean take heed that you hear once in a while. Take heed that you continue to hear. That means that you're regular, that you're committed. And, you know, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, everyone that's here tonight. But yet we need that encouragement and admonition. But don't you think there are others that we could encourage along that we know that are in our, you know, circle of brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we can say, look, be more faithful to your church. You know, find a church. And we don't practice this in any of our other spheres. You know, I said this to people at times, what would your parents think if you said, you know, you don't expect me to be at the dinner table, you know, regularly, do you? You don't expect me to come home regularly, do you, Mom? Yeah, you're our son. You're our daughter. What if you said to your employer, you don't expect me to be there all the time, do you? No big deal. You don't expect me to be there on time or every day, do you? You think there's no sphere that a person would ever use that kind of logic for. But it's used in the logic of the church. The greatest sphere, as far as the kingdom of God, isn't that the greatest sphere where we should have the most commitment? And you know, I know it's easy, you know, maybe this is where the evangelist we talked about it comes in to say something, but you know, preacher, you're saying it, that's your job to say it. But remember, I wasn't a preacher for how long before I became a preacher. So I felt that burden as a Christian that I needed God's word. I needed fellowship. But the Lord is saying, take heed what you hear, but also take heed that you hear. And that while you're hearing the word of God, that you're listening, but that you give regular attendance to the truth. And you see that in the Lord Jesus, how he wanted to be in the temple. He stayed back to listen. As his manner was, he went into the synagogue on the Lord's Day. As Paul's manner was, he went into the synagogue. I mean, that was, you know, you hear these Christians saying, what a wonderful testimony. When I grew up in a Christian home, and I didn't have to wonder whether or not I was going to be in church on the Lord's Day or at the prayer meeting. My parents, it was an assumption in our home. Thank God for that. You hear this, it's a wonderful testimony. And now there are second-generation Christians in this church. And I hope one day we can hear our children, or I would assume our children are going to say one day, thank God, that it was an assumption in our home. And it's a sad thing that one of the I better not name a name or say where it is, but someone said, I just asked someone recently, you know, were you able to be in church yesterday? No, we went to a museum. And you know, that is so foreign to me now after how many years, 25 years as a Christian. And thank God that our children can say, you know, I knew, there wasn't a question where I would be on the Lord's Day, where I would be when it came time for the hour of prayer, unless there was an emergency that my parents taught me the importance of a regular attendance to the Word of God and a respect for God's truth. The Thessalonians took heed how they heard too. As Jesus said in Luke 8:18, take heed how you hear. It says you received it not as the word of men, but you received it as the word of God. And that is a tremendous temptation. You know my weaknesses. You know that I'm just a man. You know my sins, my easily besetting sins. And it's easy for God's people, and it would be easy for me if I was in your spot to just say, well, that's just him. I know him. I know he has problems with this and that in his life. And you know, it's easy to have that temptation and to give into it. And again, the Lord spoke through a donkey. Spoke through Balaam. And he said if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and people received a just recompense of judgment for not listening, how much more, you know, since God has sent his Son. But the point is, it's the Word of God. We need to take heed how we hear. First of all, negatively, we don't hear it as the Word of men. If the preacher isn't up to par, we need to say, look, the Bible says, be ye clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. But it's not the Word of God that should suffer. It's not our hearts that should suffer that, oh, he's just a man. We're suffering for that. And the Lord is not honored in that attitude. What should be done is, I'm listening to the Word of God that he's preaching, but I'm going to talk to him about being clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. The Lord is saying to me through this vessel, but I'm going to talk to that vessel when I get a chance. But it's the Word of God that he's speaking. Don't let the Word of God suffer. Don't let the Lord be dishonored by our attitude that's just a man. That's what the Thessalonians graduated. They matured and said, this is not the word of man. Though man is speaking, it's God's word through man. And so there's a negative and there's a positive. They received it as the word of God. They weren't, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable. They didn't come skeptical and cynical. And we have to beware of being disagreeable and skeptical and apathetic. How often, you know, we can be like some on Mars Hill. You know, they love to hear new things. But some believed and some didn't. There was just an apathetic. And there's such a casual, careless attitude, kind of like at Hyde Park. You know, people just go there to listen. They got soapbox people all over Hyde Park in London. And you come over here and hear a Mormon, or you go over there and you hear a rustler, you go over here and you hear about, you know, something political, go over here and hear something about, you know, being natural in your diet, come over here, you know what I'm saying, you hear something from almost every angle, and people can have this attitude, just come in and this is just a lecture, just a casual, careless attitude, being unalarmed. We should always be alarmed. We should always, what does he want me to hear today? What needs to change in my life? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to be encouraged about? What is it that I need to do for the Lord? Or what shouldn't I be doing? We should always be alarmed to listen. The preacher is told in 1 Peter, preach as the oracle of God. So this goes both ways. Don't preach like you're just giving a lecture. He says, speak as the oracles of God. Have you ever read that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11? First, it speaks to every people, to every Christian, whatever gift you have. You're in this and I'm in this. There's application to us. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's entrusted you and me with a gift. Let's be serious about it. And minister that gift one to another. Let's not neglect each other. Let's not neglect our gifts. But then he particularly moves to the person who has the gift of preaching, I think, here. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What does it mean to speak as the oracles of God? That doesn't just mean that speak loudly. You know, if you know you're preaching the oracles of God, if you're preaching the Word of God, you speak as a dying man, knowing you're giving a message that is for death or life, that is serious for the moment and for eternity, that someone's soul is weighed in the balances and is dependent on this truth. How would you? What kind of attitude would you be in an epidemic, and you've got the antibiotic, you've got the wherewithal in your purse, in your pocket, in your box, that you've got to get this to people or they're going to die? That's what it means, doesn't it? You speak knowing people are going to die if they don't receive it. So it comes for the preacher too, that I don't come with that. You ever been to hear a sermon and as if it's a joke? Heard sermon, one joke after another? There's a place for reverential laughter. There are places for that. But sometimes you think you're in a comedy act in churches. Take heed how you hear, that we listen, that we consider, that we think, that we apply the truth to our hearts, that we resolve to be obedient to God's Word. The Thessalonians took heed how they heard. They took heed what they heard. They took heed that they heard. They took heed how they heard. And I just close with this thought. Take heed why you hear. From verse 13, do you not see that they looked in advance? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They believed that there was ongoing blessing. They believed that the prophet was not just for the time they were listening. But if they took heed seriously and gave heed and respect to the truth, that God was going to work in them that which they had heard. God was going to see it through. Look, it says, which effectually worketh. Look at present tense. Also in you that believe. God's Word is living and powerful. The Lord is speaking to you about resisting temptation. And you're resolving to do it, and you're praying to do it. God's going to see that when you're tempted the next time, it's going to effectually work. That what you've heard tonight, the God has vouchsafed His own presence and power in your life. You have, as the Scripture says, cause and effect. What you put into it, you get out of it. What is the way that the Scripture indicates that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, what the Lord is saying here, if you sow a reverential offer, my word, you'll reap that I'll bless you. I'll see to it that it effectually works in you. in one's case, we sow the wind and we reap the whirlwind. You can have a casual word, a casual attitude toward the Word of God. It's as if the Lord says, I'll have a casual attitude when you come to a temptation. I'll see how you'll see how much you need me, how weak you are. And it's not just merely a recipe, but that you need the Spirit to work God's Word in you. In Acts 17, notice how it effectually worked in those that believed and those who didn't believe. It says that the Bereans received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. That tells me right there it was working in them. Why did they search the Scriptures daily? That's effectively working in them to believe. They heard the Word on the Lord's Day and times when the Word was preached, but their hearts were stirred the next day for more. They were Sunday-only Christians, in other words. They didn't just, you know, give attention for an hour. These were people that wanted... Why did they search the Scriptures daily? Because the Word was effectually working in them. They were so blessed on the Lord's Day because they had prepared their hearts, they had given attention, they had taken heed, that they were blessed the next day. They wanted more. Their craving for God just seemed to get greater and greater. Like we talked about this morning, how Moses, after 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord, said, show me your glory. Lord, give me more. And you read that in the Scripture, the Lord is honored when people have a craving for Him. Not just a craving for blessings from Him, but a craving for Him. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. But then it goes on to say, they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And then he believed. Who were in the church listening, and I'm assuming others. They were listening to the burden they should have for souls, to pray for souls. So they prayed, and the Lord moved in souls. Are we listening? We say, is the Lord going to give us a soul-saving ministry? Is He going to give us a ministry where people are believing the Scriptures? Well, are we? Are we believing the Scriptures? Are we giving attention to the Word? Whatsoever we sow, we'll reap. And that's why I'm challenging us that we take heed why we hear. We want to be changed by it. We want to be moved so that tomorrow we're hungry for more. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Present tense. Not hunger sporadically, but hunger, our hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for conversions. Hungering and thirsting for Christians to believe God's Word, to practice God's Word. We come to the Lord's Day services and come to the Word of God and pray for Christ-likeness to be changed in us, to be worked in us. Beholding the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image. That we come to the Word of God because it's going to increase our faith if we take heed to it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, not just the audible sounds, but taking heed. That we hear, how we hear, what we hear, why we hear. That's what it means to hear. Faith, increase of faith is not automatic. It's God's reward. It's God's blessing upon a people that come to His Word as they find great spoil. We come to the Word saying, Lord, give me doctrine, give me reproof, give me correction, give me instruction in righteousness, whatever I need. I'm coming as a son, as a daughter in need, coming for direction. Your Word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet. What do you need tonight? Scripture is used of the Lord to fulfill that need. God's word is so sufficient. Whatever you need, God supplies that need through His word. Knowledge, wisdom, direction, doctrine, revelation. There. Attitude toward situations, responses to trials, dispositions toward people. A godly reception to the Word of God. I hope that the Lord can say about us, I hope that men of God who come to our church can write us and say, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God from us, from me, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And I know it's effectually working in you that believe. I see it happening. Now you're becoming as noble as the Bereans. Larry's coming next week. What favor can we do, Larry? There's been a lot of burdens in Toronto. There's a lot of tension. That church needs our prayer. I'm not giving you any indication of divisions, but when you have a church without a pastor, in a sense, Dr. McClellan basically is retired. What's the best favor we can do preachers who come to this church? The hearing that helps the preaching. This kind of spirit. I'm taking heed. I'm challenging you that what you say should be the word of God. I'm not skeptical about it. I'm not cynical about it. But, sir, we would hear the word of God today. And if you preach the word of God, we're not going to say, oh, it's coming just from your... We're going to receive it. We're going to take heed how we hear. We're going to take heed that we hear. We're going to listen to you. And we believe that God has sent you so that He's going to work in us what you're saying to us today. And whatever Larry brings next Lord's Day, as we're praying for him, is what we need to have worked in us that day and the days to come. And let's pray that whatever He brings, that the Lord will effectually work that truth in us that are believing. And I hope that will be something that every preacher and teacher who comes here can say, the Bereans are true to their name. If we show respect for God's word, God is no beggar. God is no debtor to us. He's going to give us a reaping of His blessing. And we can say like Job, I have esteemed your words more than my necessary food. I haven't gone back from the commandment of your lips. I have approached your word like great spoil. Please bless me, Lord. Please don't let us lick our wounds. Don't let us linger in our sins. Please, Lord, bless us. We've come to bless you. We love your word. Bless us, Lord. Let's close in prayer.